You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Friday, good Friday morning to you. Today's a day of another big game. I mean, we have the Sixers who won 10 of their last 13 games going up against the Houston Rockets. So you know that's going to be a treat. The game's going to be on ESPN. It's going to be on CSN locally, but it's going to be on ESPN nationally. So, you know you got to go to StubHub and make sure you get some tickets if you don't want to sit at home and watch it. If you want to be a part of the crowd, you know you're going to have Mike D'Antoni, who was associate head coach here last year, is back. You know, the players really love him. But, wow, all that is basically cliff notes, so to speak, or not really cliff notes. You know, they're asterisks or just, they're really not the main story of today. The main story is Joel Embiid being snubbed for the All-Star game. You know, I know sometimes people may say, hey, Pompey, we email you. You don't always respond. Well, I don't respond to everything or be if I feel like, you know, you're just taking a shot at the at the franchise or if you're just being outlandish, but there are some emails today where some people were going on both sides of it. You know, some of saying, how dare the NBA not select Joel Embiid to the All-Star game as a reserve. Well, I just want to let you guys know, if you don't know the process, the starters are voted on by the fans, the media, select media, and by the current players, which this year that was kind of like a joke. This is the first year that the media and the players voted, and some players didn't take it very seriously. But Embiid just missed out on being an All-Star starter. Well, then it turns the attention to the reserves are selected by the league's Eastern Conference coaches. Or, like, you know, each conference coaches vote for their All-Star team. Well, Embiid didn't make it. And, you know, there are some people upset and saying that they won't watch the All-Star game because of this. And, you know, I personally believe that he should have made the All-Star team. And there's other people opposite saying to me, emailing me, and, you know, saying like 10 games do not make an All-Star. Missing 10 games does not make an All-Star. Well, he actually missed a little bit more than that. But I get the point that they're trying to say. I disagree with that 100%. You know, I think that, you know, we all knew heading into the season that he wasn't going to play in X amount of games. He wasn't going to play on back-to-back. I think that when he has played at a high level, an extremely high level. And I believe that he should be rewarded for that. You know, and when you look at this All-Star team, you know, it's nothing against the team, but the team has five point guards. You know, I mean, this is an All-Star team. I mean, you know, you got five point guards. I mean, like, really? Like, I just don't see it. Now, I'm looking at it, and you're looking at this list, and you're saying to yourself, so who doesn't belong? Who would you take off? I mean, that's a tough call. I mean, it really is a tough call, but I don't think you should have five point guards. And when you really look at it as far as a legitimate post player. And I know you have LeBron James, but I look at LeBron James as an everything guy, like all everything. You know, he can play the three, he could play the four. I mean, even if he wanted to, you know, he could probably play center in a small ball lineup if he wanted to. But, you know, and heck, he could bring the ball up. He's kind of like a point guard. He can do whatever he wants. LeBron James is the hardest guy in the NBA to defend because of his versatility and because of his strength. But when you factor in as far as a legitimate post player, Paul Millsap is the only one. You know, yep, you have Jimmy Butler as a forward. You have Paul George as a forward. You have the Greek Freak as a forward. You know, Kevin Love as a forward. Well, I take that back. Kevin Love is good too as a forward. But the thing about Kevin Love, he's kind of like a stretch guy. So, you know, you have him and Paul Millsap are the only two, right? But you don't have any, like, big guys like Embiid. And I think that that's an injustice to Embiid is an injustice to centers. You know, it's just saying that, hey, this league is all about, it's still all about guards. You know, and it's going to be that way until people make a fuss, until they possibly, you know, change how they vote. Like, they need to get centers back on a ballot. Now, I know there was some years that people will say, well, the center position was down. But, hey, this isn't one of these years. I mean, you know, you look at it, like, out west, you got DeMarcus Cousins, you got Marcus All. Yeah, they got it out there. They really did. But then on the East, you know, there are several guys who got passed up because, you know, teams wanted to go after, you know, name guys. They wanted to go after, you know, wings, guys play out of position, so to speak. And I get that. But I think that if anyone who's seen Joel Embiid play, regardless if he missed 5 games, 2 games, no games, 13 games, 15 games. They have to realize that this guy is a legitimate all-star. He's proven that he's an all-star. He's dominated all-stars, and he should be on this game, should be in this game. I mean, you think about it. I mean, statistically, you know, the things that he is doing is like stuff that Hall of Famers have done. You know, I mean, you know, he's averaging 19.8 points, 7.9 rebounds, and 2.47 blocks. He's the first player since Shaquille O'Neal with the Orlando Magic in the 1992-93 season to have totals that high through the first 30 games. You know, so when you see a guy doing that, you know, it's not like someone, you know, just saying he played a couple games and did it. But when you see a guy doing that through 30 games, you realize that this guy is legit. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes you'll have coaches say, well, you know, he was a rookie. He'll probably make it the next 7 years, 7, 8 years. He'll be fine. You don't know that. Anything can happen. Here's a guy who missed his first 2 seasons due to foot injuries. He had, you know, foot surgeries in his right foot. We can't just assume that because he's dominating now that he'll even be playing next year. You just can't. So what happens? It says, oh, man, that was a tough break on that guy. You know, tough break for him. You know, we thought he was going to be legit. We thought this. We thought his time would come. No, he proved this season, this first half of the season, within these 30 games, that the time is now, and he should have been an all-star now. Now, getting to tonight's game, like I said, the Houston Rockets are back, are in town. Mike D'Antoni, who was the Sixers associate head coach, brings the team here. You know, this is a team that, you know, has the third best record in the West, third best record in the league. However, they've been struggling a little bit. They lost 2 consecutive games, and they lost 6 out of their last 9 games. And a lot of it, you know, I was in Boston on Wednesday. You know, I did a story on Mike D'Antoni for that. So you can read that on today's Philly.com and in the Philadelphia Inquirer. But, you know, you're looking at this game against Boston, man, and it was like, it was just too easy. It was like, you know, Houston gets out and they can score. And their shots weren't even falling on this day, but they can still score. But their defense, it was just, man, it was just too easy for the Celtics. I mean, I think the Celtics shot something ridiculous, like 66% in the second half. You know, and then Houston's six losses, teams have been shooting 59% against them in those six losses, and they've been averaging 118 points. So, you know, I think that this is a game that the Sixers could possibly steal. I mean, the thing is, I don't think that they have a presence for the Sixers interior. We'll find out today if Embiid will play. I think that he will. He's listed as doubtful on the game notes, but I think that he'll play. You know, this week he's a gamer. I think that he wants to play this week. And even still, it's kind of like, you know, Nerlens Noel and Rashawn Holmes have shown that they are solid players, you know, solid complementary players when Embiid isn't in there. So I think that the Sixers will have a pretty good chance to beat them. Now, also, I believe that Ersan Ilyasova and Nick Stauskas need to make shots. I mean, they really need to make shots. You know, TJ McConnell, Robert Covington, even Dario a little bit, I don't know for how long, and Gerald Henderson, I think, are going to probably do what they did the last time they played the Rockets, is where all these guys, you know, took turns in defending James Harden, you know, the Houston's, you know, five-time All-Star. You know, he moved from shooting guard to point guard this year. So he's kind of like the head of the snake. So I believe that, you know, they're going to try to run different bodies at him. They're going to do a lot of other different things. But it's like, I think Ilyasova and Nick Stauskas need to have solid offensive games for this team to win. Hey, it wouldn't even, and getting Saric coming off the bench, having another splendid game, you know, would benefit the Sixers as well. But, hey, I want to thank you guys for listening to this podcast. We start a road trip tomorrow. Well, not really. It's funny. Like, it's the next couple of days are going to get funny, get crazy. Initially, I thought this was going to be the start of a long just road trip. But since the game against Sacramento earlier in the season was postponed, the Sixers are going to fly to Chicago tomorrow for Sunday's game. Then they fly right back after the game to play the Sacramento Kings here on Monday night in Philadelphia. And then right after, well, I guess they'll have the day off. So that means they could fly out on Tuesday. And on Tuesday, they're going to start a West Coast trip. So they'll be out west for a little bit. Then they'll fly back. We'll be out west for that week. They'll fly back to Miami on Friday for a game Saturday in Miami. And then after that game, they'll fly to Detroit. They'll have an off day, and then they'll watch the Super Bowl on Sunday. And then Monday, they play the Pistons. They come home. Then the following Thursday, they're in Orlando playing. So it's about to be a busy time for the Sixers with a lot of back-to-backs, a lot of road games. And, you know, we'll see if they can continue this great run, because let's face it, the travel's going to get tougher. The level of opponents are about to get tougher. So it's going to be an interesting week for the Sixers upcoming. But hey, like I said before, I want to thank you guys for listening to today's version of Locked On Sixer. And I want you guys to have a great weekend. And if the Sixers win, I enjoy watching people raise the cats, so to speak. But, you know, whoever, like, came up with that, was whoever idea it was, it was a great idea to do it. You know, I know Ben Simmons does it a lot. I'm assuming that he's the one who started it. But whoever told him to do it or whatever is just a great thing.
The 76ers Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.